You know, I couldn't imagine, you know, being in that kind of place forever. You know, as much as it's hard for us to grasp the mercy of God. Think about that. It is hard for me to grasp the mercy of God and His love, and love me as much as I've rebelled against Him. And as much as I have been disobedient and insubordinate, but yet He still loved me and give mercy to me. It's also hard for me to grasp the wrath of God. I don't know that anybody's ever made me mad enough that I would, if I had the power, I would send them to hell. I really don't. Be personal. Now, maybe there's been some politicians that's affected a lot of people, and I probably could put, but I'm just saying the average person that's upset me, you know. In general, you know, I wouldn't want that for them. Maybe 6 months or a year or something, you know. But not for eternity.
Yeah.
But God is just.
Yeah.
And on the one hand, whereas all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God, the Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And the Bible says that if we continue in sin after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for a fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Why? Because the Lord says, vengeance is mine.
Yeah.
And so just as much as we can see that He has a wrath towards sin, and it is something that is real, it is something that is happening, hell is a place. It might not exist in the same realm that we do, but it is a place.
Yeah.
And there ain't but one way there, and there's no way out.
Right.
And that one way there is God sends people there. This idea that, you know, I've seen search signs and everything, so God doesn't send anybody to hell, you know, you choose your... I get what they're saying, but yes, He does.
Yeah.
He is a righteous judge, and in His wrath against sin and sinfulness, they say, well, God doesn't hate the sinner, He hates the sin. Well, why come the sin don't go to hell? Why is it the sinner?
That's right.
It is because God does not tolerate that, and when we die, we were made a living soul.
Yeah.
And so on the one hand, like I said, there is this great wrath that is to be poured out upon all the ungodly and those that despise God and hate God. And you say, well, you think about your neighbor, you think about people that we judge by what we see and what we know of people. We don't look at the heart. You know, a lot of times, one of the biggest things that keeps somebody from being saved is their pride. Mm-hmm. God hates pride. He hates pride in the life of a lost person. Matter of fact, it is just enough for somebody to die and go to hell. Matter of fact, He hates high pride, I know for a fact, in the life of a saved person.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of times that's something that He deals greatly with us about. You know, that's one of the things that I think a lot of times we don't need chastisement to know that we've done wrong. Well, the convicting power of the Holy Ghost for a lot of things that we think and say wrong is just enough for us to turn and to repent of that. Sometimes God will chastise us for things if He needs to. Because the only way He chastises us is to correct us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's always for correction. If you're doing something, know that you're doing it. And if you've done something you know you've done wrong, you're trying to make that right, you're not going to get chastised for that by God, that moment. You might run into some kind of trial or something else, but chastisement is correction. A lot of times, chastisement is to show us that we're wrong, to get us to a place where we will repent. And I know for me personally, and I'm sure this is the case for a lot of Christians, is that chastisement is something that we receive oftentimes for pride, because we don't recognize it.
Yeah.
We don't see it right off. We just feel it. And as much as, like I say, I see God's mercy and grace and what He's done in my life, I don't want to be to the point to where that I'm so proud to think, well, look at where I'm at. And, you know, where I'm at with the Lord. I don't ever want to have that pride associated with that. I want to remember that God is a God of justness, of righteousness. He's just in all of His dealings. And that He's also full of wrath. And that I want to be reminded of this, that the only thing separating me from receiving the wrath of God and the mercy of God, which I have received, was Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection.
Yeah.
And tonight, what I want to talk about a little bit is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I know it ain't Easter, but we've been talking about works. We've talked about, we've talked about lots of things that are leading up to this. You know, we're talking about works, and we talked about our Christian liberty. We talked about legalism. We even done that as a question for the foundation study. And I preached those few messages on the difference between guilt and conviction, which were, I believe, also associated with those topics, and just understanding the doctrine behind that. And then, we've talked about James chapter 2 the last couple Wednesday nights, and we talked about works. And I left off last week, and I was talking about, we preached on this thought that, Paul had said there that, you show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. And that is how that we are seen of being the children of God. That is our testimony, is what we do for the Lord. How important it is that we have works and do works, not to have recognition of ourselves and, not out of a heart, not to try to garner that pride or anything else, but just understanding and knowing that there is a place called hell, and that God's wrath will be poured out there in the fullest. He says that there's a fire that is kindled in me that burned down to the lowest hell. And if we believe that tonight, if we truly believe that, then we ought to be doing all we can, like I said, to rescue every single person that is on the face of the earth from that fate, that eternal fate, by giving the gospel to them, by sharing the gospel, not only just sharing it and telling about it, but by living it out in our daily lives, because it means that much to us. Eternity hangs in the balance. And so if we truly believe this about hell, that it is such an awful place, if we truly believe that heaven is such a wonderful place and that Christ is the only path to get there, as he has said, he said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man come to the Father but by me. There is no other way to get there. There's been others that have tried to find another way. The Bible says the same as a thief and a robber. But he is the way. There is no way to get to God. Matter of fact, if we are to just do works, basically because we think that's a good thing to do, and other people would think that we're good for doing that. There's a category, there's people we've mentioned several times in the last month that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 7. He says, that they say to him, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works? Right? Notice this, that those people ain't said, didn't we come to church, several times a year, Christmas and Easter, or didn't we come to church? Well, we've done better than that. We was there all throughout the, year. We was there on Wednesday nights. We was there for the revival week and everything else. These people went a step further. They said, we've prophesied. They said, have we not prophesied my name and done many wonderful works, cast out demons? I've never prophesied, never cast out demons. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that these people did either. I'm just saying they think they did. But in any case, they really think they've done great things for God.
Yeah.
And yet he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. They said, Lord, Lord, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. They will call him out in the name of the Lord. They refer to him as Lord. He said, they'll say to me, Lord, Lord. Talking about Jesus. He says, I will tell them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And so if we truly believe this, then we ought to have the conviction. And I hope that we got that last Wednesday night, and I hope that it's been a blessing to you. Last week I preached on that, and I mentioned that, as part of the theme behind that idea that we preached on, that doctrine was this, that, we ought to be willing in the Spirit of God to do things that we naturally would not do. And, when I had opportunities to do that. Preacher Matthew was there with us Saturday night, and there's a homeless guy coming and was asking us for money, and I said, no, but we'll get you something to eat, And I made it a point to tell him, he said, don't tell them. He said, they'll call the law. I mean, they don't like homeless people. I said, buddy, I don't like homeless people either. I said, but I said, I'm not doing this because I want to help you. I said, don't thank me. I said, you better thank the Lord. I said, I wouldn't do this if I wasn't a Christian. I said, I do this because the Word of God compels me to. I said, the Spirit of God compels me to. I said, that's what drives me to do it. I want him to understand that. And, you know, of course, he claimed to be a Christian and everything else. And I gave him a little word, and I prayed with him, and we went on our way. But in any case, like I said, I thank God for the opportunities. Even though, you know, especially, I thank God especially whenever it's late on Saturday night and I'm ready to go home, I'm tired, and I'm like, please nobody bother me. And, you know, somebody comes bothering me, and I was a little bit irritated, I won't lie. But I'm just a hateful person. That's just me naturally. I'm sorry, I just am. Not the people I love, the people I love, to you all, I'm not going to be hateful in most cases. But if I am, please forgive me. I don't mean to be. But, you know, I'm in general, I'm just not a friendly person to people that I don't know or people that are bothering me. But thank God that the supernatural happened when God saved me.
Amen.
And he gave me the ability to behave in a way that I otherwise naturally would not. Meaning that I can be friendly and I can be kind and courteous and generous to even those that I would naturally despise or dislike. So I thank God for the opportunity. But in any case, it's about spreading the gospel because hell is real, because heaven is real, and because Jesus is the only way to be spared the latter and to be given to be given heaven. The only way we will gain that is through him. And I know I'm getting long here in this, and so I just want to run through this. I'm going to go through this whole chapter, 58 verses tonight. I'm not going to preach every verse by verse. I'm not going to read that verse. Stay seated, because I'm not going to read anything. I'm just going to stop right here, and I'm going to read a couple things, and then we're going to say a prayer, okay? But you just stay where you are. In chapter 15, I'm just going to start in verse 1. I'm going to read down for the first few several verses here. Paul writes to the church in Corinth. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which ye also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Yeah. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for your word. Pray, God, you'd add your blessing to the reading of it and to the preaching of it. Bible tells us that there is some that would say that there is no resurrection of the dead. I want to say this. Have you ever doubted? Have you ever thought, well, I wonder if that's really true? Is my body really going to raise out of the grave one day? You know, I mean, is there really going to be a rapture where there's a trumpet? I mean, everybody just starts floating up. Brother Matthew, you still got that painting? Is it in your room back there? If y'all ain't ever go in there and preach, Brother Matthew's room, Sunday school room, and look at that painting. He's got a painting that somebody made. Yeah. It's a painting that's depicting the rapture. Is that really going to happen one day? Have you ever thought about that? I'll tell you honestly, I've had my doubts before, you know, and just thought, is that really the way it's going to go? But the Bible tells us to have full confidence that there will be a resurrection of the dead.
Yeah.
Why? Because if there's no resurrection of the dead, that means Christ was not raised. It goes as far to say this, that you are yet in your sins if Christ be not raised from the dead.
Amen. Yeah.
The importance of the fact that Christ was raised from the dead is so important to the gospel that if it were not so, he says that you are dead. Well, you say, well, preacher, I thought that he died for my sins. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, I could have said, I could go and hang myself and say, I died for your sins. Mm-hmm. I ain't going to help you none.
Right.
you get somebody, even Percy Ray would have hung himself and said, died for your sins. That wouldn't have helped you none.
Right. Yeah.
You know why? Because he didn't have power to lay his body down.
Right.
And power to take it up again.
Right. Amen.
You see, he said, I have power to lay my body down, but I have power to take it up again. They thought that he might kill himself when he said that because he said he had power to lay his body down. Well, guess what? I guess just about anybody has power to lay their body down. Right?
Yeah.
That doesn't separate him from anybody else. Now, the way that he died separated him. Why? Because it wasn't the fact that he was going to use force to incur his death, but that he was going to withhold force from stopping those angels that would have hindered him being killed on the cross. He had to use heavenly power to restrain the heavenly host from coming down and taking out that Roman guard and whoever those legionaries that were there at that time. If they wanted to, I'm sure that they would doubt my mind. I can see Michael standing by the gate with a sword drawn.
Yeah.
And he's saying, Father, if you'll let me go, I'll go.
Yeah.
God, you say when.
Yep.
He said, I'm heading that way. I mean, he was ready to roll up down there and stand in Pilate's face and say, I'll be a huckleberry. He was ready to go. Ain't a doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
But yet, he was restrained. That is where Jesus said he had power to lay his body down. He said, no man take my life from me, but I give it. But yet he also had power to raise it up again. Why? It's because he was sinless. The reason that my life would mean nothing if it was shed for you is because I'm a sinful being. And because of that whenever I die, it is just, it is deserved, and this body will not be raised again. Jesus was a perfect sacrifice. He was without sin, and so he had power to lay his body down, and he had power to raise it up again.
Amen.
And so we're talking about works, and we see here, we've been talking about this, and how that if we believe that there is a hell, there is a heaven, then we ought to be living that. But the Bible tells us here that if we're living that, it says that our faith to trust that is in vain if Christ be not risen. If he is not risen from the dead, and that is the thing that, you know, even the Muslims believe in Jesus. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Do you know that Muslims, you know, that they believe Jesus was a prophet? They love Jesus. But they believe that he was killed and he's in the grave.
Yeah.
There's many people that are even, you know, atheists, and they will admit there was probably a man named Jesus. But what they deny is the resurrection.
Yeah.
They deny the resurrection. But yet we believe and know that there was a resurrection.
Amen.
Because he was without sin. The Bible says if there was no resurrection, it says then our faith is in vain. It says the preaching is in vain. Matter of fact, it says we are of all people most miserable.
Yep.
More so than the Muslims, more so than the Hindus, more so than the Muslims. Take a look around. Do you see Muslims being persecuted the way that Christians are persecuted around the world?
No.
Do you see Hindus being persecuted? Do you see Buddhists being persecuted the way that... I mean, all these people do suffer persecution.
Yeah.
Make no mistake about it. In China, they don't put up with nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they used to be Buddhists. They don't even put up with that anymore. They don't want any religion of any sort. But Christianity worldwide is more persecuted than any other religion. We spend a lot of our time coming to church, reading this book. We spend a lot of our efforts, a lot of our money. Look at the money we give to the church. We give to help Christian works, and we give to help people in the name of the Lord, and so on and so forth. If I was to die, and I had, if Jesus was not risen, and I had to go buy, this guy ordered $20-some worth of food, by the way, at the Mexican restaurant. This homeless guy. So, you know, I didn't say nothing, but I was like, okay. But in any case, you know how mad I would be if I died and realized that it was all in vain? Just thinking back to that one specific event. Like, what a waste, you know. And so think about all that you've done, all the time that you've spent serving the Lord and doing all that you do. And if you're saved, I know it's in you at least to a very great deal of an extent to want to serve God. And you have, you're here on Wednesday night. You faced the rain. You faced all the excuses that you could have had not to be here, and yet you made it here. And so, you know, you're a good soldier. Good for you. I'm glad. I'm tickled that you're here. I'm glad that you made it. But what if all that was in vain because Christ was not risen? But the Bible says in verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Amen.
Adam, he sinned. And because of that, we all sinned. Because of that, the wrath of God is poured out on sin. But in Jesus Christ, all can be made alive. He said he came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. I'm glad of that. Hey, I'm glad that I ain't going to hell. I'm glad that everything that I do, I'm glad that it ain't vain for me to read and study that book.
Amen.
I'm glad that it ain't vain for me to live a Christian life. Matter of fact, it's far from vain. It's very rewarding. I'm glad that Jesus saved me, and I'm glad that I won't ever have to see another rainy day for all of eternity. I think about hell, and I think about the fires and the flames and the misery and the wailing and the gnashing of teeth, and I think about that going on for an eternity, for as long as forever. You can't even begin to wrap your head around forever and ever, and that's how long that it's going to be. And I think about that God spared me of that. And he saved my soul. And I think about, well, how miserable am I to sit there and just, you know, have my little pity party every day. I wake up and you know, I say, well, I don't feel good. This, you know what? I ought to be just thanking God that I got another day to be able to go out and tell somebody about Jesus, to be a light wherever I go. Why? Because I know that there's a place called hell, and I know there's a place called heaven. Christ that came and died for me, the precious Son of God, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, the only way, the only path, the only truth, that's the only way to get there, and I've got a blessed opportunity and privilege to share that with a lost and dying world.
Amen.
How quickly we are become ungrateful.
Amen.
We come into church and we're tired, we're just, well, more. Hey, I started saying, well, none of y'all probably even watch football. I don't watch football, but you know, Super Bowl. I didn't watch it, but I looked it up about 11:30 at night right before I went to sleep. And Stephanie's about to sleep, and I looked it up. I said, yes! And she said, what? And I said, the Eagles won the Super Bowl. And she said, well, I didn't think you cared about football. I said, I don't. I said, I'm just glad they beat Taylor Swift's boyfriend. I said, I said, praise God. You know, I wish I had watched it. I didn't get to, I heard that they panned the camera over Taylor Swift and the whole crowd booed. That just tickled me to death. I would have loved to have seen that. You know, I would have. They said Donald Trump come out there and said they just went wild. That was tickled me. But in any case, we come into church on Wednesday nights, and a lot of times we think of all the things that we could be doing. And we're tired, and we just want to sit back and watch the game or watch our, you know, race or play something or do something. You know, anything to go to church. Man, we ought to be thankful.
Yes.
We ought to be thankful that we ain't going to hell.
Amen.
I mean, we ought to be tickled to death to be able to come to the house of God and fellowship and to worship and just to have opportunity to say, Lord, you know what? This is the least I can do for you.
Yeah.
I appreciate everybody comes, and I know a lot of you're probably like me, and you're going to try your best to be here for no other reason than you're disciplined to do so, and you want to be dedicated. But a lot of times I come and I don't have the joy that I ought to have. That's what I'm talking about. That's the conviction that I have tonight, to know that Christ is risen. I'm serving a risen Savior, and everything that I do is not in vain.
Amen.
He's given me so much to be happy and joyful about. I want you to go home tonight, and I want you to read over verses 20 through 50. I want you to do that tonight. I want you to read over, study. I'll give you a little hint. It talks about here, verse 39 says, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another kind of beasts, another fishes, another birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It's letting us know that in the resurrection, that it ain't all going to be the same.
Yeah.
That you can earn more brightness than maybe others would have, not for the purpose of being brighter than others, but I'm saying that you strive to please God. Amen. And that's just the benefit of it. Wouldn't it be nice to get to heaven one day and you see somebody, and, you know, I believe that we'll get that glorified body, that glorified mind. Maybe it's just as simple as you're faithful and steadfast in praying for somebody. I want you to ask yourself this tonight. How many people in your life have you prayed for and gave up and you're no longer praying for? Think about that.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that this morning, and I was trying to, I couldn't, but from my drive, from the house to work, I got to thinking about that, and I began to pray for people that I've quit praying for. And then I got to work, and I was sitting in the parking lot, and I was still going. That's how many it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, my Lord, you know? I mean, like, what if I would just stayed steadfast? And you know that God honors that? He promises us that in His Word. He talks about how that there was a king. You remember the parable Jesus told? And said that there was a woman that come to him. Nah, I'll keep him right. We'll quote it word for word. But she come to him. She just keeps coming to him. Basically, she just keeps on aggravating. He said, this woman won't leave me alone. Give her what she wants.
Yeah.
That's basically what he says. And he says, so is the kingdom of God. So we know that that works. You ever seen the Shawshank Redemption? It's not that great of a movie. Don't watch it. But he has the guy goes to prison. And he's wrongfully accused. And one of the things that he does in prison is he's really well behaved. He's an accountant, and they put him in charge. He gets a job taking care of the library, but there's no books. And so he starts writing the state and telling them he wants books. And they're like, yeah, here, look at that. They ain't going to give us no money for any books, you know. But he keeps on and keeps on and keeps on and keeps on. And eventually they're like, okay, quit sending us letters. We'll send you all the books you want. And so he gets the library stocked up. But it made me think about that also. But that is, we have biblical truth to support that idea that continuing in prayer works. God's not on your time, and He's not on my time. And we live in this, you know, fast-paced society where we can, you know, we get ill if we go to McDonald's drive-thru and we have to wait. How many of you have ever been told to pull up? I tell you to pull up and wait on your food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We get mad about that, don't we? You know what? You're still getting it faster than if you went home and cooked it yourself. So, you know, I don't know what, you know, like I said, we're just so on demand. You know, nowadays we can't even stand to watch commercials anymore. A lot of these kids don't even know what it's like to have to watch, you know, 15 minutes of commercials to watch 15 minutes of programming on a 30-minute show. You know, they don't understand what that's all about because everybody's got streaming and you just skip the commercials or you just don't have them or whatever the case may be. But like I said, we're just so on demand. A lot of times, a lot of y'all's got used to my wife guilty of this, and I fuss about it. I don't like it that much. You don't even go to the store or grocery shop anymore. You go pick up. They bring it out there and stick it in your trunk. Like I said, we have got so spoiled as a society that we have got so used to having things when we want them, how we want them. You know, people fuss about the post office. I don't know what they're fussing about. You're getting stuff faster than you ever did.
Yeah.
You really are. You're just so spoiled about getting stuff. I mean, you order something today from Amazon, it'll be here Friday. That ain't never been the case traditionally.
Yeah.
I ain't been working there but about 15 years. And the time I've been working there, I remember, you know, you was lucky if you got something in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Ordered it. And they're like, oh, I don't know what's on postal service. I don't know why they can't get my stuff here. You get stuff faster than you ever have. I don't know what you're talking about. But like I said, we're a society that's so used to getting stuff right here and now. And so when we pray, we think God's going to move that day, the next day. We pray for a week. I've been praying forever for them, Thomas. Ain't nothing happening. Ain't no hope for them. You know that God, you not think God's able?
Yeah.
You know what we're saying when we quit praying for somebody? I guess God's not able. That's what you're doing. You are putting somebody else's ability to be stubborn or sinful or whatever the case may be, you are saying that is greater than the power of God. You're doing the same thing that the Israelites done under Saul's leadership whenever they faced that giant. They said, look how big the giant is. David come and he said, look how big God is.
Yeah.
And so, think about what it'd be like to get to heaven one day. And one of them people, just one of them people that you prayed for and you didn't give up and you remembered, start the night, you remembered you prayed for. That one person, every time you pass him for the rest of eternity, hey, you prayed for me. Thank God. I'm glad you minded the Lord and prayed for me. I believe I'm going to see people up there and pray for me.
Yeah.
I believe every time I see them, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, thank you for praying for me. I'm going to see Ken Frady. I'm going to say, thank you for preaching to me. I'm going to see Curtis Carroll. Thank you for preaching to me. I'm going to see my grandpa. I'm going to say, thank you for encouraging me and your testimony and leading me. I'm going to see Preacher Billy. I'm going to say, thank you for encouraging me.
Yeah.
Amen. And I hope that there's people who see me and say the same thing. But I don't want to give up on that. So the Bible tells us that there's different types of glory. So don't give up. And it says this in verse 51. So read verses 20 through 50 tonight. I'm about done. I'm going to read this and I'm going to preach in just a minute. I'm going to go at 8 o'clock. We're going to get out of here early tonight. Amen? That's a good reason to be excited. Verse 51 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I love that song, Victory in Jesus.
Yeah.
The Bible says that one day that this flesh is going to put on incorruption. We ain't going to deal with sin no more.
Right. Hey.
It's going to put on immortality. We ain't going to put up, we ain't going to deal with sickness or pain and nothing else anymore.
Man.
The Bible said, don't say it might, it says it must.
Yep.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
You say, well, I don't know if I want that. Too bad, it's coming.
Yeah.
I know you're going to want it.
Yes, sir.
Bible says this in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, because of this, because that Jesus is risen, because that he is risen, he's given you the guarantee, the promise that you will be risen one day, meaning that you will be given a glorified body, death will no longer have a hold over you, the victory will be proclaimed, and it will be won, and it will be a triumphant victory that we can celebrate. It'll be something that we can rejoice in, and it'll be something that we ought to be rejoicing in even now. It says, because of that, because of the promises that are given through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it says to work. It says, my brethren, be steadfast and unmovable. Two different words here that are used. Both can mean the same thing, but because it's used in two different words, then we would use a different definition for steadfast. Unmovable would mean just that. It would mean unmovable. But steadfast would mean this. That means be steady in your mind.
Yeah.
Meaning that you don't allow yourself to slip, that you don't allow yourself to back down, that you don't grow doubt in your mind to the point to where that you're no longer continuing to stay in the faith and serving the way that you know you are to serve. It's saying don't let yourself get behind. Stay disciplined. Because there's a reward to be had in that. Amen? It's saying keep praying for those people. It's saying keep going to church. Be faithful. It's saying be steady in reading your Bible. It's saying be steady in praying to God, even whenever it's inconvenient. Don't let yourself get out of the habit. It's a good habit to keep. Reading and studying the Word of God, praying, going to church, praying for other people, witnessing to people, telling others about Jesus. It's saying stay in the habit. Then also it says unmovable, meaning that others are not going to be able to get you to be quiet. They're not going to be able to stir you or cause you to change your position on what you stand for. You know where you stand, and you're going to stay there regardless of what anybody else says. Then whether it be some friends that you have, or whether it be some kind of crowd that you get around, or whether it be that some of you youngins might grow up one day and you're looking for a husband, you're looking for a wife, you make sure that these individuals are on the same page as you spiritually.
Yes.
Because I promise you, that if they're not willing to move and come where you're going, then eventually, if you'll put up with that, then eventually you'll start moving for them.
Yeah.
Be unmovable. The Bible says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain, Lord. It's not in vain. It's doing something. It says to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. That means overflowing. The psalmist said, my cup runneth over. He was basically saying that the blessings that I have are more than I can count. It's more than I need. I can't even hold it all. I can't even call to my mind at one time all the good things. Have you ever just stopped and started thinking about the good things in your life?
Yeah.
And how wonderful it is. How many of you last Monday in the Sunday school room done what I said about the trading for $1 million. Did y'all think about that? Did you think about that Monday? Was you there?
Yeah.
Sunday before?
No.
It was, I heard somebody ask a question. They said, how would you like to have $1 million? Say, I could give you $1 million. Would that make you happy? Well, sure, it'd make anybody happy. Don't lie.
Yeah.
If I give you $1 million right now, they'd make you happy. I said, but the only caveat to that is, if you get to $1 million, you don't wake up tomorrow. Would you take that deal? No. Nobody's taking that deal, are you?
Right.
So what you're saying then is that waking up tomorrow is worth more than $1 million.
Amen.
So then he asked the question, he said, well, why don't you get as excited every single day about waking up as you would about the $1 million?
Right.
If it's worth it.
Right.
And I said, that'll help you on Monday morning. So think about that. Just thinking about the very fact of life itself and God giving us another day, watching the sun rise one more time, climbing out of that bed, going to work.
Yeah.
You realize that's worth more than $1 million.
Amen.
We can't even begin to think, and our minds can't even begin to hum. If you really get to thinking about how good God's been, what all he's done in your life, we can't even begin to put that all in our minds at one time. He says, abound also in the work of the Lord. God has abounded in blessing you and doing good things for your in your life. Has he not?
Yes.
Has God not been good?
Yes.
That means it's overflowed. He's saying that ain't nothing wrong with you overflowing on doing work for God. You ain't got to limit it, what you're doing for God. There ain't nothing wrong with letting it overflow. Matter of fact, I believe that we'd find more contentment and satisfaction in that than a lot of things we look for contentment and satisfaction in.
Yeah.
He says, do all this. He says, because you know that no matter how much you do, none of it is going to be in vain in the Lord. He says, it's not, you know what's in vain? A lot of times, we was talking about work, and Jesse was talking about, I forget what it was. I don't know if it was overtime or a little bit of overtime or something. I said, it don't really make that much difference in a paycheck. I said, I just didn't have the time off. And Jesse made the point to say, you know, he liked getting off Fridays. He said, because if he ain't off, he said that wanting to work a half a day, he goes and works till 10 or 11 or something. He said, they don't make no big difference on his paycheck because, you know, after they take out taxes and everything else, you know, yada, 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 it just don't, you know. And so it's kind of in vain, you know. It ain't really giving a lot of profit. It ain't benefiting a lot. It ain't benefiting a lot to do that. There's a lot of things we do like that, you know, that they ain't really benefit. Well, have you ever had a recipe, ladies, and you cook something and it's really good, but it just ain't worth all the work that it's involved. And you just don't, so you don't do it that often. But then, you know, maybe you figure out a way to make it, and it's not quite as good as the other one, but it's so much easier. You know what I'm saying? And it's getting a lot done for a little bit. What the Bible's saying here is that what we do for the Lord, that He adds His blessing to us. See, one waters, another sows, but God gives the increase.
Yeah.
The Bible says the Word of God does not return good, but it goes out and accomplishes that which it set out to do. Mm-hmm. So that means that you can invest money in a stock, and it can go down, and you can lose money.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You can work overtime, and they'll tax it so much that it really don't matter.
Yeah.
You can go through a whole recipe book and you'll find that only about a quarter of them is actually something you want to eat or even try to attempt making again. You get some whole recipe books, you can't even find the ingredients in it. Hog brains. That was Sam Laff, grocery store board. Go read some of my mom's recipe books. I'm like, Lord have mercy. But in any case, I know this, that whatever I do, it's not in vain.
Yes, yes.
It's profitable. It's always profitable.
Amen.
It's always a good investment. It's always something that's worth the time. The reward is worth the time that I put into it. Amen? And so, it's never, ever going to be something that I'm going to say, I wish I wouldn't have put that much time into it. I wish I wouldn't have invested that much into that. I wish I wouldn't have worked so hard for that. It's always going to be the case that I'm going to say, I'm glad I put the extra work in. I'm glad I invested that much more into that. I'm glad that I went and I took the time and I followed the directions, because you know what? It is so good to receive the reward of my labors. That's what it's like doing things for God. So we see that there is a promise of reward in serving God and being faithful to serve God. Why? Because Jesus is risen.
Yeah.
Why? Because not only is He risen, but that means that you and I will be risen. We'll be given a glorified body. And we know that it's not just going to be the same. But you can determine right now basically your status in heaven by the things you're doing right now. Wouldn't it be great over there to see people? And not only do they glorify God and give God the thanks and praise, but they also recognize your faithfulness. I believe that would be the case. I do. Because the Bible says there's glory, there's different glory, one for this one for that one, there's different rewards. I believe ultimately we're all going to give Christ, for Jesus Christ the thanks.
Yes.
We will praise and worship Him, but I also believe that there'll be recognition given to those who are faithful. Right? The Bible says that, you know, our labors are like building materials. Some are wood, some are stone.
Yeah.
And some are precious metals.
Yeah.
It says the fire's going to be applied to all of it, and the wood, hay, and stubble's going to burn up. And it says that the precious metals are going to be purified.
Yeah.
And made into trophies. Whereas the things that are burned up, says those people are saved by fire alone.
Yeah.
They don't have to go to hell, that's about it.
Hey.
I want to be rewarded. I like being rewarded.
Yeah.
You say, well, you shouldn't be that way, you shouldn't do it for reward. I'm sorry, I like being rewarded. I like being recognized. You know what? I love Jesus.
Yeah.
And I promise you, I'm going to praise Him, I'm going to thank Him, but you know what? I'm doing it because I'll just be honest with you. I'm going to be rewarded. I get up there, I don't even say, well, good job, my good and faithful servant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, how many of you would love for your mom or dad or somebody to recognize you, to say, you know, you've done a good job. I'm proud of you. You know what I mean? It feels good, don't it? It does. It feels good. I got to tell you, I'm proud of you, Glenn. You are a great Sunday school teacher.
Yes, amen.
You do a great job. I'm proud of you, Noah. I kid you not. I was thinking on the way over here tonight. I said, you know what? I was thinking about, you know, I guess I don't know what happened to Glenn and Chris, but I thought maybe Glenn might have to run the sound thing. I thought, you know, I wonder, you know, one of these days I realized that it hit me that Scott is quite a bit older than I am. And one day, we might need somebody else up there in that sound booth. And I'm like, you know, I wish one of these young men would take it upon their heart to learn that trade, to learn that, and be faithful and to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, and then I come in and he's up here and I'm proud of you, man.
Amen.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you, Terry, because you put up with him a long time. I'm proud of you, Miss Amanda. I'm proud of you, Miss Amanda. You come and you bring these girls and you're here as faithful as you can be. And I appreciate that. I appreciate your faithfulness. I'm proud of you, brother, for the same reason. You're always faithful. Anything that's asked of you, you're glad to do it, and just as humble as can be. You're a great example to me and many others. I'm glad of you girls. First of all, because you're modest, you're very smart, you probably studied the Bible, know more about it than I do a lot of times. I feel like I ask so many questions, and y'all just get all in there, and it just tickles me to death.
Yeah.
You boys back there, I'm proud of y'all, because you're humble, and you have a desire to do what's right.
Yes.
Jesse and Melissa, I'm proud of both of you, because you two raised them. And they're great examples of young men.
Amen.
I know they aggravate the devil out of you. But I promise you that others do not see it that way because they don't aggravate us. We don't put up about it. But we just see how dedicated they are and how just good-hearted nature they are to want to serve the Lord. That's a blessing.
Yes.
So we're proud of y'all. Amen. Honey, I'm proud of you, obviously, because you do such a wonderful job taking care of these kids and because of, you know, that you put up with me for as many years as you have. And Nick, I'm proud of you. I'm very proud of you, Nick, because of all that you've overcame.
Amen.
And because of your discipline and your dedication.
Amen.
And I told you for years, you know, when you were struggling, when you was fighting the fight, you know, I tell you, I said, man, you just gotta find your church and get in there, you know.
Yeah.
And here you are. And I never thought you'd end up here, but you know, I'm glad to have it.
Yes.
I'm glad you're here. You know, you've been here. And I appreciate that. I'm proud of you. You make me very proud. And I'm proud of all my children because Cambry is just sweet as can be. And Sawyer, he's funny. And Parker is very loving and kind spirited and makes me proud. And I'm proud of Preacher Matthew because he's a good friend, he's humble, and he's willing to do anything I ask him to do to help out the church. And I'm proud of Solace because she is just so kind and sweet and loving and wants to serve the Lord. And I'm proud of you, Miss Christina, because you just take such care and watching these children and taking care of your Sunday school class and doing the best you can for them. And I'm proud of you, Miss Hannah, because you're so humble and you're so obedient and you're so willing to do anything and everything your mom and dad ask of you. And that's a good example of a child. And I hope you stay that way all the way through your teenage years. But don't feel good for somebody to brag on you. And I meant every bit of that, by the way. I did. I'm not making stuff up. I'm not blowing smoke. I mean these things. I miss Beth, I'm super proud of you. Because Miss Terry, she knew one day she's going to get rid of him. You're in there till death do us part. Till death do us part. You took on a great responsibility. Praise God for your patience.
Amen. Yeah. You have no idea.
Yeah. Amen. But one day I believe that we'll get to see brothers and sisters. I believe the Lord will tell us, I'm proud of you. I'm glad for you. I'm thankful for you. Wouldn't that feel great?
Yeah, sir.
I believe he will.
Yeah, sir.
It says that there's different types of glory. Know this, that whatever you do, and all that you can do in serving God, it's not in vain. It's going to be rewarded.
Hey.
Let's bow our heads for prayer. Let me just go back to this one thing tonight. Let's just start here. Let's just start with this one thing tonight. That person, the individuals that you prayed for and have quit praying for, and the Lord's showed you tonight, don't give up. Why don't you come tonight and say, I'm going to start here, Lord. I don't want to just be just steadfast enough. I want to be abandoned. I want to be overflowed with my service towards you. And I want to be steady and pray. I don't want to give up. I don't want to lose hope. And I want to begin again tonight to pray for these individuals. Individuals, whichever it may be. Just lift them up to the Lord. We know that he's able. Look at what he's done in your life, in my life, in the lives of others. Sure, thank God for loving me and saving me and allowing me the privilege of serving him. I don't deserve that. Let's all pray together tonight and just ask God to help us, that we live a life that glorify him. He sure is worthy. He sure is worthy. While everybody's here in the altar and everybody's praying, we'll all pray together, and we'll be dismissed after that. You can go home. Everybody be careful going home. Be careful in the rain. Pray for one another. The Lord will watch after us and keep us safe. Brother Matthew Johnson, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your blessing, being in high school this evening. Thank you for your goodness and mercy. Blessing us here for your grace, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the good word that we have heard this night. We thank you for the warm and dry place to worship in. We ask now, Lord, that you help us tonight. Be closer to you. To look forward to that day, Lord. The promise that we'll be called up and that you will marry. We thank you, Lord, for the fellowship here that you've given in the church, for our pastor, for all of God's people, Lord, for the fellowship you provide. Please keep us now by your grace.